Are you feeling overwhelmed and frustrated with dating and relationships and looking for a little more support? Then you are the perfect person to become one of my friends with benefits. We just launched a special Patreon program for our listeners who want a little more love from me. What is Patreon? Patreon is a platform that allows you to support creators like me to keep making helpful content that you want to hear, and it allows you to get amazing listener benefits by participating. Our page is patreon.com/datesandmates. What will you get if you sign up? First, we have a private Facebook group where you can chat with me and other listeners of the show. And you'll have an opportunity to join me for private group coaching sessions. Plus, you'll get secret behind-the-scenes content from our nearly 300 episodes of Dates and Mates. And for my really special top-tier FWBs, you can even get a personalized dating profile analysis from me with tips tailored just for you on how to make a magnetic dating profile that draws in just the right kind of dates to you. The Patreon is live now at patreon.com/datesandmates. And we have a special bonus for anyone who signs up at the Lover or VIP level during the month of February. You'll also get a free autographed copy of my book, but only if you sign up during this month of February. So go to patreon.com/datesandmates to see which tier is right for you. I look forward to supporting you on a deeper level and inviting you inside the community as one of my friends with benefits.
What does his text mean?
So frustrating.
Maybe he's just not that into me.
She really likes
I've
me.
Always been bad
How
at flirting.
How can I get her attention?
I'm ready for marriage.
I just want somebody to share my life.
Is this relationship going anywhere?
Modern love made simple. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman. Happy Love Month, lovers. This is episode 3 of our special 5QFEV Love Month series, during which I will interview your favorite Dates and Mates guests and ask the most pressing questions about love today. We're using the hashtag 5QFEV if you want to get in on the conversation and let me know what the big takeaways are for you from today's episode. Before we get into the show, I also just want to give a quick shout out to our new listeners. We are so grateful that Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and Pandora are all featuring us for Valentine's Day and have sent us a lot of new listeners. So we're so glad to have you here. And I just want to welcome you if you are new to the show. I'm certified dating coach Damona Hoffman, and I've been coaching singles on online and offline dating for about 15 years. I've made a lot of marriages and I've seen a lot of dating changes during that time. And one dating expert who has been in the love trenches with me for a lot of that time is Bella Gandhi. Bella is a dating and relationship expert. She's the founder of Smart Dating Academy, and she's a weekly media correspondent. You've probably seen her on anything from Good Morning America to the Steve Harvey Show, the Today Show, Fox and Friends, and so much more. But she's so much more than just that resume. She's a dear friend of mine, and I am excited to give big smooches and welcome Bella Gandhi.
I am so excited to be here. This is amazing.
You are amazing. Your advice is amazing. And I'm really excited to do this 5QFEB, these questions with you today. But I'm also excited to cover these headlines. We have a lot of news to talk about, including why Shakira won't get married to her super hot baby daddy and how you can use Twitter as your dating app, plus some new research on dating from my most trusted source. And then we'll be answering your questions, including what's a reasonable age gap for dating and what are the odds you'll meet your match at speed dating? All that and more on today's Dates and Mates. Bella, are you ready for Love Month?
Girl, I could not be more ready.
Well, then let's do this.
D's Dating Dish.
Now, Shakira is making headlines not just for her very hot performance in the Super Bowl halftime show, but also because she and her boyfriend, Spanish soccer star Gerard Piqué, are not getting married anytime soon. Now, before you go thinking this is just two hot people getting together, it's no big deal. No, they have actually been together since 2011, and they have two children together. So these two are really bonded. They are essentially living as
a married couple, but they do not want to get married. Bella, here's why. She says on an interview for 60 Minutes, she said, I don't want him to see me as the wife. I want him to see me as his lover, his girlfriend. It's like the little forbidden fruit, you know? I want to keep him on his toes. I want him to think that anything's possible depending on behavior. What do you think about that statement and the fact that she is not putting any value on marrying the father of her children?
You know, I think she came out of a pretty famously bad divorce before she got together with PK. So I think it's really normal after you've been through something that can be so traumatic, especially as a celebrity. And when somebody was trying to, take a legitimate part of your fortune that didn't belong to them. Like, I understand why she would be kind of have a lot of trepidation about getting into another marriage situation.
It is understandable. I'm a big fan of marriage, but I also think it's not the right fit for everyone. I do find, though, when you start to build your life together, you have two kids, you have a home together, that sometimes we lose sight of the big picture and we just think like, well, I want to go against the grain. I don't want to do what I did before or what other people are doing. And that sometimes, like, as much as we want it to be like passion filled and romantic, we have to be a little bit practical and pragmatic.
Oh, I think that that's so true. And I think, you know, keeping that spark going in a marriage, right? Or even a long-term relationship, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of communication. It takes a lot of negotiation and it takes a lot of intimacy to get there. And sometimes, you know, the issue can be in a relationship, you know, especially when people can have multiple partners or not married, is the question is how truly safe do you feel in this relationship without that official commitment, right? And that can drive trust issues as well.
Yeah, I got a little nervous, I must admit, when she said, I want to keep him on his toes. I want him to think that anything's possible depending on behavior, which I'm reading into mean like his behavior and that she could maybe withhold something from him if she doesn't like what he's doing. And that felt a little bit manipulative to me, but maybe I'm reading it the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can read it that way for sure, you know, and I think it's also based on like, okay, if you end up, you know, pulling the wool over my eyes, if you end up doing what, you know, some other athletes have done to the people they're in relationships with, cheated on them, then there's consequences for that behavior. And peace out. I'm out if you do that.
Yes, she is setting a firm boundary. I expect nothing less of Shakira. But I do like this idea of keeping the romance alive. And like, I think there's a way that even if you are married or you're considering getting married, you can still have that essence of the girlfriend, the lover, the romantic interest, and still keep that energy alive, even though you are now the wife.
Yes. Again, it definitely takes work, right? And it is because in a sense, like safety and excitement are two opposite emotions, right? And the more attached and the more safe you feel with your partner, which is amazing, and you know it's the best feeling in the world, it becomes hard to keep that spark. So it's really working on the balance of the two, which is possible. It's just, again, it's not natural.
Yes, it's not natural. One thing that's also not natural is meeting people on Twitter. I read this really fun article in the bold italic, which of course we'll link to in the show notes, by a comedian named Ginny Hogan, who is just frustrated with Tinder. She says she signs on and off multiple times throughout the day. But one thing that's been consistent in her life is her Twitter presence. And she actually uses it as a place to try out her jokes and really show her personality. And she gets a lot of DM slides, Bella.
I hear you. I know a couple that got married on Twitter.
I know a couple who got married on Twitter as well, who've, well, not on Twitter, but from Twitter. They've, are tweethearts. It can work, but like this article, she posted a lot of her DM slides that were less than exciting to receive. And
less than savory.
less than savory to read. How do you look at that in terms of Twitter being a dating, a place for dating, and Twitter, as she says, being her dating app in a way? How do you filter through those DM slides and not get overwhelmed or like disappointed, and find the real gems if you're going to use Twitter in that function?
You know, Damona, I look at the entire world as fair game for dating, right? Whether it's Twitter or Instagram, whether it's work, whether it's church, the synagogue, the train, you can meet great people everywhere. And the filtering mechanisms ultimately are going to be a little bit different just based on the context that you've met this person. But what I liked about what she said is you can really tell a lot about someone through reading their Twitter profile. And her Twitter profile was really thick. She had a lot, and you could tell a lot about, you could kind of make conclusions about her personality based on the things that she was tweeting. And you can also draw conclusions about other people based on what they're tweeting. It's like, in a sense, if you're on Tinder or Bumble or Match, you can only look at the conversation that you're having with that person. Here, you can look at the conversations that people are having with the world.
Yes, and it's, in a way, it's taking down the filter of I'm here for dating. Like, people on dating apps always try to put their best dating face forward, but there's so much more information if you can actually see that person in their natural habitat and what they would post on Twitter. It was a little confusing in that she's a comedian and she's like, some of this stuff is basically just jokes, and so people are going to make certain
assumptions
based on what they've seen on her Twitter profile. But it seems like overall it's been more successful for her than dating apps have been.
Hey, if it works, keep doing it, right? For some people, they meet on Match. For some people, they meet on eHarmony, Twitter, Instagram. I know you, like me, do this on a daily basis. You've seen it all. You've heard it all. Keep doing what works.
I like that. I like that it's, you're not attaching meaning to a certain way of meeting someone. A lot of times people tell me, well, I don't want my story that I tell my kids to be that we met on Twitter or Tinder or what have you. And ultimately, if you get the happy ending, it doesn't necessarily matter where it comes from.
I hear it too. To me, I'm like, then I don't know that you're truly ready to find love.
Oh. Say more, Bella.
Tough love. Yeah. Right. You should be open to meeting people anywhere, whether you meet eyes across mangoes at Whole Foods, whether you meet them on Tinder or Match or on the train, wherever it is, right? That it's finding the lid to your pot. There's nothing better in life. Who cares where they came from? Be grateful for that outlet.
Yes. Well, I know you've been doing this a long time, as I have. I've ridden the wave from online dating to dating apps. And one source that I always look to for research on this area is the Pew Research Center. And they just released the 10 facts about online dating in America that I don't think anything is going to shock you or I, but it might shock some people that now 45% of people are saying that dating apps are positive experiences, but they say they've had frustrations. Now, the majority of people under 30, almost 50% of people under 30 have used a dating site or dating app. And those numbers are also growing in the 30 to 49 and the 50 plus group. So it's really becoming a much more accepted way of dating than when I began coaching singles on dating apps before, and people were like, I don't want to do that. What are you seeing as someone that's also been in this space for a long time in terms of attitudes around dating and dating online?
You know, I think there's a certain resignation. Like, people are resigned to it. Like, they know that they need to do it, and it's just the way life works. I don't know that anybody comes to me particularly jazzed about online dating, but, you know, I look at dating with three major pipelines. Either you meet somebody in real life, you get set up with them, or you're using a site or an app to meet people. It really boils down to those three. So if you don't use technology, you've just eliminated one major pipeline of candidates.
Yeah, and the pipeline that really keeps growing. I mean, when I began doing this, they would say like 1 in 6 relationships started with a dating site. And now those numbers are looking like more like 1 in 4 and possibly even 1 in 3. I think the number's actually underreported. So that's really the trend. And even though you're not maybe excited to use a dating app, I think sometimes people assign more meaning to the vehicle than they do intention to the process. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, well, I don't want to do the online dating. I said, do you want to find love? Then you need
to do the dating.
Do you want to do the dating? Most people don't want to do the dating, right? They want to Amazon Prime their mate. You know, I want to check off 17 boxes. He should be this tall. He should make this much money. He should be this funny. And I'd like him delivered Prime to my mailbox.
Yeah, I used to think that. I actually felt that way about online dating. I still feel that way about online dating. I would call it man shopping. And I really feel like I ordered up my husband. But, you know, I had to make a few returns. And that's just part of the process. Sometimes you buy something, it doesn't really fit. So you got to take it back.
Exactly. It's like Goldilocks, man. She had to sit in 3 chairs before she found the one that was just right.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Just like Goldilocks. We're all Goldilocks out here. What do you think in terms of the qualities or the values that people are looking at? According to the Pew study, people were focused on things like the type of relationship that the person was looking for, whether or not they have children, hobbies and interests, religious beliefs. I'm going in descending order, racial or ethnic background, occupation, height, still in there, and political affiliation. Those are all factors that people are sorting based on. Do you think we're focusing on the wrong things right now?
You know, I think that we're focusing on quantitative things, right? Things that you can put numbers to, things that you can assign values to, things that seem easy, right? Height, interest, religion, race, political affiliation, right? But ultimately, it's the qualitative stuff that is the beauty of relationships.
Yes. So maybe, yes, maybe the religious beliefs, if that's really core to who you are. Maybe like the children. That's kind of a hard thing to overlook if they have children and you're not into that. But the superficial stuff, like, what's your take on height? I feel like I keep going around and around with clients about the importance of height. What do you say to women that are like, must be 6'2 or taller?
You know, I tell them you're kind of dating from your cave woman self. Like, I get we're wired that way, right? There's evolution. 200,000 years, humans haven't evolved very much. And women still preference traits that they did, you know, back in the caveman days. Like, I want you to be big caveman who can go out to jungle, kill buffalo, drag buffalo home to feed me and children. But really, rationally, in today's day and age, size doesn't really matter. Height doesn't really matter. If you look at the statistics, only 12% of men in this country are over 6 feet tall. The average American man, taken across white, black, Hispanic, Asian, is between 5'8 and 5'9.
And that's a perfectly good height for most women who are, what, average 5'4"?
The average American woman is about 5'4", 5'5", you know, and 6 feet tall. I tell my clients, like, think about, I just put 100 age-appropriate men in the room, okay? Now, if you say you want him to be 6 feet or over, you open the door, let 88 of them walk out of the room. Now you're left with 12. That is what you did with just that one parameter.
That is so interesting when you look at it that way and you really see the numbers of your dating pool going down. And then all of the other filters that we put on it, suddenly we're like, there's one guy or less that we may be looking
for. It's a percentage multiplier. Exactly. So if you have 12 guys left in the room that are 6 feet tall or over, then if you're like, I'd like him to be white and I'd like him to be Catholic, right? There's nobody left.
What can people do to expand their dating pool right now beyond just taking away some of those filters that you and I feel are non-essentials, what are some other ways that people can open up to love?
You know, with every inch that you come down closer to your height, I'm 5'3 on a really big hair day, and my husband's 5'6 on a really big hair day, right? And the closer you can come to your own height, every inch screens in hundreds, if not thousands, of good prospective candidates for you. You know, so really think about, you know, I tell my clients, like, everybody's the same height lying down.
That's what everyone's going for anyway, right?
Right.
That's the point we're trying to get to.
And I get how we're wired, right? But understand the math of what you're looking for. Know what's really non-negotiable to you. To your point earlier, if religion is a big deal for you, then that has to be in there. But you've got to be able to give on something else. Because if you do that percentage multiplier and you're not getting good candidates in your pool, you might just be constraining too many parameters and the sites don't have someone for you. If you're not getting good matches, take a look at yourself and say, what have I asked for? Is it realistic based on the demographic on this site?
Yes. Is it realistic? And is it even really what I need?
Yeah.
Is it really that important when you really think about the long-term goals that you have and the values that you have and what you really need in a partner? Okay, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be doing these 5Q Feb questions with Bella. So Bella, get ready because we're going to go deep in the next segment.
I'm ready.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back with Bella Gandhi of Smart Dating Academy. So if you've been following this month, we are asking five big questions of four dating experts and getting wildly different responses, but all very illuminating. So Bella, here's your first question for 5Q Feb. What is the biggest challenge for daters today?
Man, I have to pick one.
Just one. And like, here, I'll narrow it down. Not one of the ones that we've talked about before in the first segment.
Yeah, I think relying too much on chemistry, right? We feel like there's a lot in that one statement. I think that with dating apps and sites and this abundance of people that are seemingly out there for us, what happens is we go out on a date and we're not feeling fireworks, chemistry, butterflies. And we're like, meh, let me see who else is in my inbox. I don't think we're a match. You know, and you throw that person back to the pond. It's such a big mistake. For example, I knew my husband and we were friends for 6 years before there was a spark. Right? And we work with our clients. I don't care if you're feeling chemistry on the first or second or third date because good love can be a slow burn. It's such a mistake what people are doing today, expecting to be bowled over, electrified by a person. In fact, if my clients are feeling really heavy chemistry with somebody on the first date, it's a total red flag to me. It's a red flag meaning I think this person that you have all this chemistry with may just remind you of someone that you dated that was bad for you.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that on Good Morning America segment, that that those heavy butterflies are actually a bad sign. And not to keep going back to the same well, but I talked a few weeks ago about love at first sight and how it can't exist because you don't really know that other person. But I've never really thought about it from the perspective of it may be your reaction to that person reminding you of something familiar. And we tend to attract the familiar, right? Even if it's something that's not good for us, we tend to repeat the same patterns.
We tend to repeat. I believe there's lust at first sight, but love at first sight, no. Lust comes after. Lust, attraction, and then attachment and love. Like those.
How
are
do you
the
know
steps.
The difference? Like how is there a certain amount of time that it takes, do you think, to develop that slow love?
Yeah, For sure. I mean, you have to grow emotionally intimate with the person, right? You have to feel like this person is good for you. They're stable. They make you feel safe, secure. They're a cheerleader for you. They're supportive. They're kind. They're generous. They love your people. Like, those things take time to unfold. And this is where so many people goof up is, you know, I always say lust is nature's way of tricking us into love and attachment. And you really have to vet who the hell you're dating.
Yeah. Yeah. That's easier said than done, you know, when we get caught up in the feelings. And then it's not even just the feelings, Bella. We get caught up in the story, the happy ending that we want, and the story that we've told ourselves. He's going to be 6'2". He's going to make this much money. He's also, like you said, going to be like Catholic and this background and whatever. And then you get there and realize the story that you were telling yourself isn't the story that's in front of you.
Yeah.
And you push into the into getting that happy ending, even though the facts aren't necessarily there in front of us.
I know. Yeah. And it's focus on the right things. I tell people be picky, but be picky about the right things. Be open to the story.
Yeah. Yes. And sometimes the story goes in an unexpected direction and you have to be willing to go with the flow. So for those people that are still looking for their love story, here's the second question. What is the best way to find love today?
You know, I'm going to hark back to the three wells that I talked about, right? In real life, getting set up and going on online dates, right? I mean, the best way is to make a plan that includes all three of those pipelines and then optimizing it. Everything that, like, finding love, there's nothing more important than you will ever do in your life than find the right partner for you. And the best way to do it is to take those three pipelines into consideration and then make a plan. You have to know where you are, right? And then you have to know where you want to go. You need 2 points to have a path, where I am and where I want to be.
But it's hard, right? That's Brené Brown calls, that's the messy middle.
It's the messy middle. It's like anything, right? It's like changing careers. It's like starting a business. It's like having children. The middle's always messy, right? And the journey is never a straight line up. It's a lot of mess in between, ups, downs, plateaus, downs, lower downs, high ups, right? And coming back to the mean.
Okay, so for those that have identified that they are not necessarily on the path that they want to be on, our third question is, how can people change their patterns in love?
Intervention. You need help. It doesn't come naturally, right? Mm. You can, an intervention meaning you might go out and buy a book that resonates with you. If you're a person that's a DIYer, you can Google it, you can read it, you can put your plan together and do it, then do it, right? If not, you need a supportive team. Maybe it's a therapist. You know, maybe it's a village of friends. Maybe it's a coach. You need to change patterns requires a lot of work, a lot of mindfulness, and a lot of conscious dating.
Oh, but that's tough. Because that also, it does require an acknowledgement that something is broken. And that's the place that I find a lot of people get talk themselves out of, right? How do you know what the right next step should be? Like, I had someone who I think follows me on Twitter who was like all ready for a dating plan. And we were talking about a dating plan. And then all of a sudden she's like, actually, I just decided that I'm going to do a man cleanse. And I'm going to have just no men this month instead. And it was like, whoa, like in between day one, I wanted to do it. Day two, I am just actually going to retreat from the whole thing. How do you know what the right path is at the right time?
It depends on how you feel, right? If the thought of going on a date excites you, then go on the man plan. If the thought of going on a date, you know, makes you want to vomit, then it's time for the man cleanse.
Good. That's a good point. Like, where are you right now? And so many times people come to me and they're like, I'm just super frustrated with dating apps and I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall and I'm doing this, that, and the other thing. And I hate it. I'm all about you dating from a healthy, happy place, right?
Look, if you're tired of anything, it's not going to work for you. You have to, you know, the mindset that I espouse is called psychotic optimism, right? You have to believe in your gut, in your toes, every part of you. Like, love exists for me. It's a when, it's not an if. Right.
And like
once
that.
You start to adopt this mindset of, you know, the SDA psychotic optimism, then you're going to start to be in a good mindset to date. If you're telling yourself, you know, the bad stories, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too damaged, there's nobody good out there, how well do you think you're going to date?
Yeah. And you have to be dating from that place of psychotic optimism, but it in a way that's like faith in the face of even when the story that you see doesn't add up to that. It's just like having the faith in spite of what you might be getting right now, and knowing that the right now is not necessarily the future too.
Yeah,
it's a leap of faith.
Everything is a leap of faith, right? And it requires hope, massive amounts of hope. And hope springs eternal when you literally take on that mindset of love will come to me. It's a when, it's not an if. I've just guaranteed you guys that you're going to find love. Now, all you have to do is go out and date like hell to find this person. So go forth and conquer.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So now we found the person. Now the fourth question is, what are the elements of a strong, long-lasting relationship?
Commitment, shared commitment to each other, right? And a shared partnership. You know, my husband and I have been married. It'll be 23 years this year. And we're committed to each other, and we're committed to each other's happiness, and we're committed to running this crazy business that we have called home, right?
Yeah.
And
yes,
and being supportive of each other's dreams and wishes, and, you know, continue to give more than you take, and you cannot go wrong.
Oh, I love that you said that. Give more than you take.
Give more than you take. And make a gratitude list about your partner, right? We talk a lot about gratitude and its linkage to happiness, right? It's irrefutable. We all know it's true. Make a gratitude list about your partner. If you find yourself in that rut, for those of you that might be in new relationships that are listening or in relationships, look at what this person does for you. See them, notice them, tell them. Watch your relationship change for the better.
I love that. Gratitude and everything. Gratitude also in dating. That's something I do with clients at the beginning of the process of making sure that they appreciate what they have rather than focusing on what they don't have.
Yeah.
I have one final question for you for 5Q Feb, and that's, whose relationship do you admire and why?
Wow. You know, I am really lucky. I know we can't pick our families, but I really, I respect and admire the relationships of both sets of my parents, my own parents, as well as my husband's parents. Both of them have been married 51 and 52 years respectively.
Wow.
And they have been through high highs. They have been through low lows. They have had children together. They have had success in careers. They have had, you know, bankruptcies. They've had health scares. They've had people close to them die. And they have held each other's hands through this journey called life.
Do you think having a successful relationship yourself, how much do you think having that relationship role model in each of your parents impacted your ability to form a successful relationship and be securely attached?
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, I think that in general, our parents and the relationships that they modeled for us can have a profound impact on how we choose our own partners, right? You can either repeat or you can repel. It's usually one or the other.
Yeah. And there's hope still for those listening who, like me, came from a divorced couple. There is hope, right?
Oh my gosh, you guys. I mean, every client of mine, we've had thousands of clients over the last decade. Most people come in with divorce, death, trauma, abuse, you know, one or two narcissistic parents. Believe me, I see the absolute beautiful, rainbow-laden, happy endings for people. That's why earlier when you asked, what do people need? They need intervention. With the right intervention and the right amount of hard work and doing things and being patient, positive, and perseverant, you can overcome that. It does not have to be your destiny as well.
Well, thank you for sharing your insights with us for 5Q Feb. And for answering my questions, but that's not all, because our listeners have also sent in their questions, and we are going to keep you here for Technically Dating. How are you liking 5Q Feb? This is a totally new format for Love Month, and I want to know what you think of it so far. So you can tweet me at Damona Hoffman with the hashtag 5QFeb, F-E-B, and tell me what your big takeaways were from my interview with Bella. So she's answered my questions, but now she's going to answer yours. If you have a dating question, by the way, I love giving love advice, and you can send me a question anytime on any platform at Damona Hoffman, or you can leave me a message through datesandmates.com or email me or send me a voicemail at 424-246-6255. I triple dog dare you, because people are so scared to leave their voice, but I promise you I won't bite. I'll be compassionate, as I always try to be on the show, but I would love to hear your voice, and I'd love to have you submit a question via voicemail. So however your questions get to me, we will be answering them. We have three questions queued up for Bella to answer in the next segment. We are back with Dates and Mates, and here's what's on your mind today. Every week, we take questions that you've submitted through Instagram, through Twitter, in my email inbox, and we get the questions answered by highly qualified experts like Bella Gandhi.
Technically Dating.
Okay, Bella, this lady asks, what is a reasonable age gap for dating? I started dating someone who is 7 years younger. My concern is we won't be on the same page when we get down to having future talk. Is it worth dating someone that much younger?
Look, I'd have to know what the age is. You know, if one is 18 and the other is 25, that's a big age difference. But if one person is 35 and 42, those age differences whittle away as we get older.
I did actually do a little follow-up research and found out the ages are 33 and I think she said 26. So there's 6 years, almost seven, right?
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, it's person specific. You know, I know the average age for men to get married in this country is still 29 years old, right? So 26 is not a baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are some questions that they should ask each other or figure out throughout the process of dating about where they are in the timeline, right?
100%. Like, and soon. Don't wait a year to ask those questions.
Yeah, so that's something I just want to seize on for a minute in her question. She said, is it worth dating someone that much younger? And to me, that sounds like, well, you're playing ahead to the end of the story before you've actually read it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I have the conversation, right? You don't catastrophize it just because it's different than other people. Some of my best friends are, you know, one of my best friends has a husband who's 7 years younger than her, and they're now married and they have three kids.
Yes. I found out today that Shakira's boyfriend, I almost called him husband. She would kill me. Sorry, Shakira. Her boyfriend is 10 years younger than her. She's 43. He's 33. So get it, girl. If it works, why not? But yeah, she'll have to go through the process, right, of figuring out, like, not focusing so much on the age gap, but in terms of future goals and the path that they're on, right?
Yeah. You're like, you know what? If this goes well, I would like to be engaged in a year and married in 2 years. And I'm looking to have a couple of kids, right? So I'm not looking to drag this on for the next 8 years. Like, how do you feel about that? And having those direct conversations.
And he will run. If he is not up for that, he will run so fast.
Exactly. If you're the right person for him, he will stick around.
Yes, it's amazing. When they feel ready to commit, guys will commit. But man, when you try to force it, I know you fellas are like, nah, we're not down for that. I have a couple more questions, Bella, before we let you go. Sometimes people message me on Instagram, very simple, direct question. This one is, would you suggest speed dating?
Sure. Why not? Why not? I have a client that got married through speed dating. Not a lot of them, but definitely I can think of one off the top of my head. I like, you know, look, do whatever it takes for you to feel good about dating. And for some people, as part of their plan, they want to get out there and they want to meet people IRL in real life. So if that's you, go for it. Do the speed dating.
Yeah, I find it's funny. A lot of people will say to me that they don't like online dating, but then when I suggest speed dating, that's too much work. So it's like somewhere in between, I don't ever want to leave my couch and I can't actually get dressed up to meet 10 guys that may not be a match for me. It's like finding that middle ground is sometimes very tricky. I found speed dating was more popular when I started doing this, and like I did some speed dating events that I hosted with speed dating companies. Like it's been a minute. It's been like, you know, 8 or 10 years since that really seemed like a very popular option. But at the same time, it's like it's all in the pool, right? You get in the pool and then you see who's there, and maybe what if your perfect person is there and you just didn't show up that day?
Yeah.
That'd be a bummer.
That would be a bummer.
Yeah, so I suggest trying it. It sounds like we're both on the same page there.
Yeah, love it.
All right, last question, Bella. What do you do when you feel like giving up on dating?
Become a psychotic optimist.
But how?
You have to know, look around you, right? Not every person that's in a relationship is perfect, a size zero, you know, whatever it is you think it takes to get into a relationship and that you feel like you don't have. And you have to know that this is what you're wired for. You're wired for love. Right? And you just have to get back on the bike and keep doing it. If you need to take a break, do a 30-day dating detox. That's fine. And then by that, I mean, shut it down, right? Don't like peek at your apps, like delete everything and go into a total, like, I'm going to rebuild myself and self-care for that month and really do the things that bring me joy and make me feel good again. And then go back into the dating pool.
Yes. So now we've convinced everybody to stop dating, but that everything will be better later. No, that's like if you're at that place, you could stop dating. But otherwise, you should keep moving forward. You should work with Bella and Smart Dating Academy. You should keep listening to this podcast and become a psychotic optimist. And then you'll be all right. Amen. Thank you so much for being here, Bella. I loved having you for our Love Month 5Q Feb. Keep spreading the love out there in the world.
Thank you for having me. You're doing such great work.
Thank you. You too. If you love Bella Gandhi as much as I do, please follow her on Twitter at Bella Gandhi Love. That's spelled BelaGandhiLove. We'll put the link in the show notes. You can also find her online at smartdatingacademy.com. I hope you enjoyed episode 297 of Dates and Mates, coming up on that 300. Again, I'm at Damona Hoffman on all of the socials, and I really, really do want to hear your love questions. Don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you are listening to this show. We love our listeners. We love to know what you like about the show, what you want more of, what you want less of. So thank you so much for all of your feedback. Keep it coming. We will be back again next week with our final episode of this special Love Month series. We have easy dating coach Mike Goldstein, who will be giving us the male perspective on the 5 questions about love. Can't wait for next week. Until then, I wish you happy dating.